Welcome to Cashflow Positive. I'm your host, Kenny Bedwell, founder of SCR Insights, one of the leading data platforms in the industry. Through using data and analytics, I've been able to replace my W-2 with cash flow from my successful short-term rentals. And my goal is to help you achieve the same freedom and success. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just a novice looking to make your mark, Cashflow Positive is your go-to resource for unlocking the full potential of your property portfolio.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Cashflow Positive. I am with Brindy Barton from Revity Refined, and today we're going to be talking about amenities and what amenities to add and all kinds of good stuff in terms of knowing what to add in particular markets. And I'll bring a little bit more data. I know I talked about a lot of data on the part one episode, but I've got Brindy from Revity Refined. Brindy, you know I'm terrible at introductions, so you go ahead and introduce yourself. Tell us about who you are, where you're from, and what your experience is with amenities. Go ahead.
Yeah. So how I got started in the vacation rental world was in general real estate. So I used to flip houses. My husband and I had a company where we did long-term rentals, apartments, house flipping. And then one day we got started into vacation rentals. Our now business partner, Jeff, worked with us to create one, and it went so well that we ended up doing more. And our whole strategy was looking at a market and looking at the data of what was making it successful. So our first location was Joshua Tree, California. And in there, it's kind of a hippie wonderland, and they've got rock climbing and music festivals, and there's a really fun, unique culture. So as we looked at the top performing vacation rentals there, we saw that they had cool amenities, they had a cool vibe, a little bit more of like, you know, I said, hippie wonderland. So we decided to create that, and we put a lot of outdoor entertainment where we had hammocks that were colorful, a pool, a hot tub, outdoor eating areas, a fire pit. And then we took detached like trailers, you know, like old trailers that would have like campers in them. We gutted them, created them into like bedrooms, essentially. They were just all new walls, took out the kitchens, bathrooms, and then put giant art murals on the outside. So that way it was just a really fun vibe. And from there, they went so well that we decided to keep investing. And we really leaned into that, creating an experience and offering unique amenities and design within it. So we went to Orlando. We have properties there that essentially are like theme parks on the inside. You've got dragons that breathe smoke and sound effects and custom-made carriage beds and dinosaurs. And it's really fun. And those really put our company Loma Homes on the map because they went viral. They got picked up by Travel and Leisure and Forbes magazine and stuff like that, which is really cool. And that just opened more opportunities for us to continue investing ourselves and then also help other people create their vacation rentals. So we still have our portfolio called Loma Homes with these unique stays. And then I also help other people create strategies on their design, amenities, and construction for their own vacation rentals to help them make the most money.
Okay. So you guys are very much and correct me if I'm wrong here, obviously, like a done for you service, right? Where you don't just, hey, these are cool amenities you should add, or this is cool design, but you will actually go and do it for people, right?
Yep. So we offer both. So you can purchase like an analysis consulting package where then you take our recommendations and do it yourself. But most of our clients actually are full service. So we'll do full staging, construction, add in hot tubs, EV chargers, dinosaurs if you want them, and have it fully guest ready with a hands-off experience for the investors themselves.
Who doesn't need a good dinosaur, right?
Right. But their strategy, you don't necessarily need a dinosaur unless you're in a good market for a dinosaur. And it all goes into that like mathematical equation.
Right. Right. Yeah. Great. I love that. So that's really important. I think that's a really unique service when you think about it, right? Like you're talking about, you're able to go in and I mean, you guys are sourcing the contractors and everything.
Yep. So funny enough, I'm in Utah, but our company is nationwide. We have project managers that fly anywhere across the country. We have installers that install. They're really good at putting furniture together, helping do all the staging, painting, putting up wallpaper. And then we source our contractors locally. So if it's a large project that requires licensing, obviously we're using like general contractors or licensed electricians to install EV chargers or light fixtures. And so we'll source and manage it all, but they are in that state licensed for that state. So that way it's safely done.
Gotcha. Okay. No, that's awesome. That's awesome to hear. There's not many people that offer that today. So it's really, And this is through Loma Homes or Revenue?
So Loma Homes is my portfolio where you can go rent our houses we create and that I have ownership in. But Revenue Refined is our company that does staging and amenities for other people. So on Revenue Refined is our service-based company.
Okay. All right, cool. So let's hop into, you talked about a mathematical formula. So you piqued my interest there. Let's talk about it a little bit. Is there a mathematical formula? How do you approach going into, you know, the design and the amenities of these particular properties, whether to add the dinosaur or not?
Yeah, for sure. And it's just like general real estate. You don't want to overbuild your property, but you want to maximize as much money as you can get out of it. So if you were flipping a house and you were in the worst neighborhood and you built a $1 million house, you're going to have a really hard time getting someone to buy that house because they don't want to live in the worst neighborhood or that property is not going to value. So the same idea with amenities or design, any upgrades you're putting into your vacation rental, you have to keep the big picture in mind. So let's say I took dinosaurs and had all my contractors that put it like custom-made spaceships, dinosaurs, and put it in a beach house. You're taking a gamble because people aren't necessarily going to the beach to go see dinosaurs and spaceships. They're going for the beach experience. And so you're putting all this extra money into it because that's very expensive to build like custom stuff in a house where you don't know if the demand is there. But in Orlando, you know, people are going there for the theme park experience. And so we are building that experience to take to the next level because people are willing to pay more. One thing you have to keep in mind within vacation rentals is that you only have 365 days of rental. It's not like you're creating a book where you can print to the masses. You're limited on your inventory. So we want to make the most out of that inventory. And we're not appealing to average. We're appealing to people who are looking for an experience and willing to pay double or pay more for that experience. So our first step is always looking into what experience, what's your guest avatar, what's the tourist market like locally? And so we'll look into wherever the investor's property is and say, hey, why are people traveling here? And this is a combination of Googling and research, talking to locals if we aren't familiar with the market. We also will look at successful properties, how they're doing and their reviews. We have a scraper for reviews that'll pick up on like most common words. So for example, if you are looking in Nashville, you'll see that in reviews, people are always like, had my bachelorette party here, best place ever. And the number one reason people are going to Nashville is for bachelorette parties. So if we're going to be designing a house in Nashville, which we've done a couple times, and we do bachelorette parties. And granted, there's some people who will not want to stay in our pink cowgirl house, but that's okay, because it's not everybody's cup of tea. Some people don't want to stay in our dinosaur house or our wizards themed house either. But the people who do are ecstatic about it. And they don't care that they're paying twice as much as the house next to it because they are sleeping with dinosaurs. And they get to have like this magical moment for their children and memories that last a lifetime. And so that's like step one is all looking at that market and figuring out what is it they want. And then we create the design around it. And then the other half, what we look to is more of the science of numbers, where we're looking at amenities and checkboxes. Anything that can be checked on Airbnb, we can run data on. So we can look, and there's different data sources. STR Insights has great ones. You can look at, we have raw data access to different platforms and some proprietary data we work with too, where we can look at like a specific market, a specific bedroom size, and say, in this market, how do properties with hot tubs perform and properties that don't have hot tubs perform? Or EV chargers, how they work with EV chargers and some that don't. And so by comparing each of those line item checkboxes, we can see where it's important to spend money. And it varies market by market. So some markets, especially like, let's say, mountain destinations, hot tubs are super important because people might go skiing during the day and then want to come back and chill in the hot tub. Or they're doing like a boys weekend and they're like drinking and they need a pool table. And we'll see, hey, pool tables are really important in this area. And so we're really looking at that data to figure out how to get the best ROI for you and what things to prioritize with your budget. Does that make sense? I know that was a earful.
No. That's really, really, really good. So if I have a, let's pick a, maybe a less kitschy market, you know, maybe something a little more like, you know, I'm in North Carolina or maybe even the Smokies or mountain market, or, you know, maybe even like a Kentucky or something. Does the theming, I just want to ask this question, Is there a scenario where you're like, we could do a crazy theme here that could work? Or are you leaning more towards being a little more, let's have like a nice place with murals and other things? Like what's your approach there? And yeah, I'd like to hear more about that.
Yeah, so we've done over 22 different markets. So we've done the whole gambit. Some of them are crazy, like Orlando, and some of them are not. But no matter what market it is, we still want our property to visually stand out. So we do what are called like scroll stoppers. People are scrolling through Instagram, or not Instagram, through Airbnb or Instagram, wherever it is that they're looking at houses, and they see that a lot of houses might have general things like it's gray walls, white walls, grandma furniture, et cetera. So visually, you want to stand out, and your cover image should be something that looks different. So it needs to be bold. It could be bright colors. For example, if you're in like Coachella Valley, bright colors work really well for the music festival crowd. If you are in a mountain town, it might be that you're using bold, like dark greens and blacks and kind of making a cool nature getaway that feels luxurious and modern. And visually, those colors may not be like bright yellow and pink, but they are drastically different, creating this cool mountain house that is bold colors and looks very professionally designed and cohesive throughout. So that way they're like, oh, I remember that. And you want to put in what we call sizzle features. So sizzle features are specific things that you'll remember when you're scrolling through it, because they're looking through like property after property. And how do they remember yours? And it's like, oh, that one that had the really cool wallpaper, or that one with the like hot tub and the like mural behind it. So we often are doing paint murals, even if they're basic, some like color blocking paint mural or a cute quote on the wall that relates to the local market or something that's an Instagram wall. Just putting in a little bit of effort to be strategic on your design to stand out is really important. It doesn't mean you have to create dinosaurs, because you're not going to necessarily get a return on a Smoky Mountain house with dinosaurs in it. But we did do a Smoky Mountain house recently where we had our professional mural artist come in and do this cool like mountain background, and it said the Great Smoky Mountains across it, and you could stand in front of it and take pictures. And then we had another mural in that same one where like the movie theater room had this whole mountainscape too. So it's like, spend a little bit of money strategically without having to do the whole house or go too extreme. And that will help in your bookings for the amount and your occupancy.
Okay. That's interesting. That's super helpful. I love that. Sizzle items. Okay. Sizzle feature. Sorry. There we go. I love that. What about rent, like amenities that nobody else has in the market? Not the generic ones that you see on Airbnb, but like things that are a little bit like, you know, doing the pickleball court or, yeah, golf simulators become a big thing. I'm spitballing here, but there's always like these random examples of like crazy amenities that people are starting to add now to their properties. Like, how do you guys figure that out? What's your approach to doing that?
That's a great question. So we've done all of those things you've mentioned and more. And it depends on the investor if they're willing to take a little bit more risk, because it's not a checkbox for like pickleball court or golf simulator to know the exact data. But we can still be somewhat scientific about it by thinking about what that guest is going to want and try to cater and stand out. So for example, we have a property that we did in Augusta, which is where the Masters is, and it's a golf tourist location. And so there we're like, we're going to make the ultimate golf getaway. So we took a normal looking house. The inside is just kind of like a golf clubhouse, greens and gold and very classy. And then outside we put a sauna so you can recover after going to play golf. We put a golf simulator thing that has a like, it's outside. So it's almost like a batting cage, but for golf. And then it measures your golf swing and stuff like that. And then we put a putting green in. So those three things are now like making you really stand out for the target market that you know is going there. Now, are there check boxes that we can say this is going to increase by 47%? Not necessarily, but we can still make educated guesses. And so we're all about that, of like, we put saunas in some other like mountain act areas, some ski areas, and it's a little bit of a gamble, but I think it's a safe gamble if you know that it's helping to put you over the edge to stand out. When people are trying to decide between one house and another and yours has a sauna, that is a beneficial thing. So I say, I kind of have to feel for it, depending on what, if you've done your research well on what your guest market is. And pickleball courts, actually, there's a lot more coming into Airbnbs than there used to be. And a lot of studies have showed that it does increase revenue. So we've done one of those before as well. And it was in a location that was, it was a mountain town. Actually, I think it was in Oklahoma. It was kind of a random smaller mountain town. There's not a lot to do. People go there for the nature, but it's a large house. So you know that there's gonna be like multiple families there. We'd have enough people who would want to like stay at the house, be entertained at the house. And so now you're making people want to book your house because you're creating the entertainment for them. Now, if you put a pickleball court in Orlando, it may not be as appealing because they have so much to do during the day. They're maybe not staying at the house all day long. But if you pick an outdoorsy location for large groups. I think pickleball courts are an awesome idea, and there's a lot of research showing how they're successful. And that house that we did is killing it right now. And we're doing a pilot run. So we have two that are near each other, one with a pickleball court and one with not. So we can do a case study and see how much different it makes. So stay tuned for that.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'd be interested in seeing that. So I guess when you're approaching, so determining the guest avatar is really important to understanding which amenities, but when you're sitting down and coming up with like these new types of amenities, I mean, where do you get your ideas from? How do you figure out these things? I mean, listening, everyone listening here is like, I've had this idea, or I'm trying to come up with it. It's like, what's the best approach there?
Yeah, for me, it kind of is a formula of like, as you figure out one piece, you figure out the later one. So like, once you figure out what vacation rentals in that area are performing the best, once you figure out what your guest is, like you can start to get ideas. You're like, okay, well, what would make the coolest bachelorette pad? What would make the coolest themed house? So like when we, for example, went to Orlando, we saw the top performing properties were all themed out, but they were themed out with like stickers of Mickey Mouse or whatever. And we're like, we could take this up a level. Let's make a theme park inside the house. So the entire house is an immersive experience. And so a lot of times you'll come across what other people are doing. You don't need to reinvent the wheel always. You can just do it better. So like find what people are being successful at and take it to the next level. And that's kind of been our like sweet spot is doing that combined with once you start putting yourself in the shoes of what that guest is going to be. It's like, hey, if I was going to go to a bachelorette party, what things would I want? And that kind of like gets your ideas spurring once you know, like walking in their shoes and walking in successful people's shoes, those combinations.
Okay. Let's get into some generics here. What type of amenities have you seen that have had a biggest impact on revenue recently that you think that, don't give me the basic ones, give me like the ones that different ones, you know?
So the biggest ones we can measure the revenue impact though are the ones that you can check boxes for, unfortunately. But the number one thing that I think is overlooked and the easiest win, here's my free consulting advice to everyone. Most markets, you make more money with an EV charger. An EV charger is not very expensive. You can make back the money of the cost of putting an EV charger in with one booking or a couple bookings. So that is an easy win. You can research and see if your market, how much difference it makes, but that's a pretty safe bet and something that we recommend to a lot of clients because it's an easy win. The other one, which we talked about a little bit, a bigger one that we've seen impact of is pickleball courts. Now that's an expensive one because I mean, it can cost $60,000 for like clearing the trees, flattening everything, putting a fence and lighting and all the things to make it a nice court. But pickleball courts are on the opposite end of the spectrum where I think it'll have a big return on your investment, but it's a big cost up front compared to the EV charger.
Yeah, absolutely. How do you determine? So let's say, you know, I have a particular amenity, one that that's coming to mind are fire pits, right?
Mm-hmm.
The all different types of fire pits. It's not just, you know, oh, I have a, you know, a solo stove, whatever they call them, the little, you know what I'm talking about, the little round.
Exactly. Costco sells them.
Yeah. And, you know, and you throw some Adirondack chairs around it. Like, how do you determine the, you know, putting up the string lights and making or building out, like digging out? I've seen some like in ground ones too, you know, where they do it like paver stone and all this. It looks really, really cool. How do you figure that out? How do you justify the returns on doing something like that?
That's a good question of how far you go. We've done a variety of them. To be honest, the first thing you should look at is what the competition is doing. Like you don't need to overbuild it. If a lot of people in your area, especially like mountain towns and stuff, like you can do real wood fire. You don't have to like pull gas lines and all that. So a lot of times they're doing normal fire pits that are more affordable and putting the Adirondack chairs around it or whatnot. So the first thing is just like, don't overthink it too much. See how other people are doing it. Do it in pretty colors that match your house or your theme. So like if you've got a themed house with colors, you can get the chairs in that color, which make it fun and pop. But the reality is the biggest thing is checking that checkbox and just photographing it well. So that way it looks like the experience. So like have your photographer Photoshop in a fire there, or you can like leave s'more sticks out, or photography is half the battle. It's like, that's how you market it. It doesn't matter how many cool things you put in your house. If you don't photograph it at all. I've seen that before where like people don't even show pictures of the amenities they're providing and photograph it well. So people can imagine themselves in the experience. So most of the time we're not going super high end with fire pits. Now, if you have a luxury home, you're going to look cheap if you do not a nice fire pit to go with it. So you have to know your house and where your market's at. But for most investors and not the high-end luxury market, you can go somewhat affordable when putting in the amenities. Like we even see, and it depends on the market, but like, for example, a pool. Pools make a big difference in a lot of markets. And it's very expensive to put a whole in-ground pool, but you can, in some markets, get away with doing like a cowboy pool, which is much more affordable. It looks kind of cool. You can make it vibe with everything else or even paint it, do cool stuff with it. And it's significantly cheaper and still an amenity that you can add. So kind of get creative on like, you never want to look tacky. You don't want to look unsafe by any means, but it doesn't have to be high end to get some of those amenity checkboxes, because your goal is to check as many of those boxes as you can. Which, on that note, I'm going to go on a tangent of like smaller amenities. You should look at the checkboxes on Airbnb and the platforms, print it out, and have that be part of your shopping list when it comes to like kitchen gear and stuff. It's not that hard to buy a $30 blender. Check, you just now got the blender, and you want to have a well-stocked kitchen, and those smaller items are important. It doesn't mean it has to be Williams-Sonoma, but it needs to be a functional kitchen that people can actually use and have all the things. That way it provides that experience as well.
Okay, cool. That's really helpful. When it comes to, because you were talking about, you do design with adding the amenities and these things. For you, when you're laying it out, do you think of the amenities you need to add first and then come in with the design, or other way around? Like, what's your approach?
So we always start with the research first. So we gather all the data on like the tourist market and the reviews and the top performing vacation rentals. And then we also pull in all of the research on the amenities and the percentage increase and whatnot. Then once we have all that together, we bundle and brainstorm the design. So that we might like along the way be like, oh, that's a cool idea. And I might even take it, like snip a picture of like some cool things. And I'll look on Pinterest too of like cool bachelorette Airbnbs or bachelorette houses. I will often like piece all those together. And then the design at the end isn't that hard because you have all of these wheels spinning already to like just tie it with a bow.
Have you tried anything maybe extremely different in a market that's worked out or maybe hasn't worked out? I'd love to hear this too. You know, where the design or particular amenities, maybe in your own portfolio or other people's portfolio, or they wanted to try something different.
Yeah. I mean, the biggest risk we ever took was to our Orlando properties. Like I said, we took it to the next level. Most people were just putting in like comforters and whatever, versus we put in a couple $100,000 into the property working with theme park builders and haunted house builders and stuff. So we took a big gamble on that, and it paid off better on some of them than other ones. For example, one thing we learned is that the more niche, actually, the better. So like our Wizards themed house and our Galaxy themed houses have a good following of people who like different franchises that are within those realms. And so people are raving fans about space and wanting to be in a spaceship, or little kids love that. And it's like their dream come true. So for their birthday, they asked to go to the spaceship house. Now, my favorite house I've ever made is our one called Once Upon a Castle. This is our fourth theme home we released. And every room is a different fairy tale. It's like you're in a castle. There's a Rapunzel's tower. There's like an armory. I've got three little boys. So they love the armory where it's like swords we provided, to like foam swords you can fight with. And on the wall, every single wall of all of our themed houses is muraled and custom made furniture and all this stuff that's really cool.
It's safe, right? So it all, no real swords. No.
And with interactive games too. Yes, it's safe. Don't worry.
Yeah.
But like, so the coolest house I made was this castle themed house. But we found that was the worst performing house out of our four themes because it was too broad. You had a Cinderella room, you had a Sleeping Beauty room, but it didn't have such a specific niche that people, you were the only one or one of the few, and that people are just like raving fans. So if you have a kid who's obsessed with Cinderella, you may not come across this house because it's only one room, versus if you have a kid that's obsessed with dinosaur, the whole house is dinosaur. And you'll see other people in Orlando or similar areas do something similar. We're like, one room is superhero, one room is princess, one room is dinosaurs. And that actually does not perform as well as going all in on one thing for the whole house.
Okay. That's awesome. Yeah, that's cool. That's good to know. I guess going back a little bit more though, but if you're in a random market, I'm just thinking like people from different markets and different areas where they're at, you're researching, trying to find these niches. Do you go specifically, like, for example, the princess theme, like, you're like, obviously it's Disney World, you know, all this stuff going around Orlando, princesses, but let's take it maybe to an urban city, not Bachelorette, another example, maybe a New Orleans or, you know, Louisville, Kentucky, or some of these other places. When you're trying to figure out your guest avatar, are you just like looking at generic age groups, or are you going like, I'm going to target, you know, 40 to 50 year old groups that, you know, they like X, Y, and Z, and we're going to add things that appeal specifically to them? Like, how do you approach that?
Yeah. So we're looking up top reasons people travel to an area. So like, what are the tourist traps? Like, are people going to something related to sports? And so you could lean into a sports theme. Is it a really big golf area? Or maybe they're all going to see like the Cubs. And so you're going to do more of a baseball theme or something. So the biggest thing I do to start with is, what are the top reasons people are going there? So it could be a sports. It could be some sort of amusement park or something like that. It could be nature. So like a hiking destination, a rock climbing destination. Then you'd want to lean into more of a nature theme, but make sure you're picking bold colors so that way you stand out visually. And then basically the other thing we'll look at is like what the typical, you can like Google what the like tourist information is of like what their demographics are, what age group generally goes there. Are they male? Are they female? What are they going to do there? And so you can kind of just look up the logistics of it, and then also what things are in that location that you might lean into. Now you have to be very careful too, like you can't do copyright infringement or advertise that you're part of something, but you can still do a generic experience that complements what they're going there for.
No, that makes sense. Okay. And for people who have properties already, how do you approach, because we've been talking about like, you know, getting a property and creating this design and adding these particular amenities. What do you recommend for people to like reevaluate what they currently have and what they can potentially add?
Yeah, it's the same process either way. And we do both. So we help people who are just buying and we help people who we call it design refreshes. They might be underperforming or they just want to take it to the next level even while it's performing well. And either way, we do the same research as if you're starting from scratch. The difference is once you have that research, you're going to look, okay, what does the house have? What of it that it has can stay and what things need to go or could do better? And one of the most common things that I see that people do is they put all their money into buying the house and then they have too limited of a budget and they're like Facebook marketplacing or taking their grandma's furniture and just throwing mismatched things into the house. And back in the day when Airbnb started, you could get away with that because people just were looking for somewhere to sleep and crash. But you're doing yourself a really big disservice when you pay all the money to buy the real estate, but then don't go just a little bit further to design it specifically. Like putting in an extra $10,000 for a hot tub and an extra $5,000 to actually put decorations around your house is much better. And that's going to make a big difference on your return. So you have to keep the full picture in mind. The secret isn't just buying the real estate. Yes, you need to find the right area. You need to be smart in what markets you're going and what neighborhoods you're going. But don't get lazy at the end when it comes to actually furnishing it. Because the reality is you're going to have to buy a couch. You're going to have to buy a bed either way. Spend a little bit more and be strategic at like, hey, I'm going to buy a really cool pink couch instead of a regular couch or whatever your theme is. You can lean into it because you're going to have to furnish it. Spend a little bit more effort and money to do it strategically and it'll pay dividends on the back end because you're going to be able to be one of the top performing properties instead of just in the sea of other ones that are like thrown together by someone who doesn't know what they're doing.
Right. I think it's important to, and I know you're going to be biased on this one, so I'm just going to say it, guys. It's important to leverage these type industry experts, right? The ROI on working with an expert and helping you increase your revenue is just exponential. Whether it's from keeping you from making a mistake and wasting money on buying the bland couch, or even just getting it right from the beginning. You know, and having like a plan or strategy. I think this is really important when we think of short-term rentals as a business that, you know, if it is a business, we, just like we're starting anything else, we don't know everything in the business. So we go to other people to ask them for advice to help us, you know, or we hire people or consultants or whatever to help us. And a lot of people in short-term rentals try to do everything themselves. And with the level of competition, it makes sense to bring in, if you don't know anything about design like me, I'm not going to go do it myself. Are you kidding? It's not going to end well. Like, I know that. So I'm going to go spend the money to make it happen because I know the ROI is going to be there. And not just be there because it's going to make me more money, but it's also going to keep me from wasting money and making a mistake. But that's a mind shift. Like, that's a mindset shift that people have to have. When it comes to, you know, working with and hiring professionals more often, I just think it needs to be said. I love that you guys use data. That's why, you know, I invited you to participate in the STR Scale Summit, which we'll talk about. Brittany's going to be one of our speakers. We'll get to that. And I mean, just the insights and everything you're sharing, I 100% align with that. But I just want everyone listening, like, use, like talk to, you know, I obviously talk to Brindy, but if you don't use her, talk to somebody who knows what they're doing in this stuff, because they're going to make you money, you know? And please talk to Brindy. So.
Yeah. And I mean, obviously I'm biased in the fact that I sell the service now, but like in our start of our journey, my husband and I were in corporate America. We got into real estate on the side, and we knew when we started to buy real estate that we're working in a like big money game. Like if you make a mistake, it could lose you like hundreds of thousands of dollars. Right. And so when we were first starting off, we hired a coach and got into a course and stuff as well. So like as the student, I'm on that side too of like, it saved us so much headache and probably made us so much more money that we didn't have to learn the hard way, learn from other people rather than learning on your own and losing money, because you're going to spend the money either way. It's just whether it's because you failed or because you hired someone to help you. And so you'll make more money by doing it the right way, and it'll be a lot less stressful. So I agree.
Cool. All right. As we wrap things up here, I have a special treat for you. So at the beginning of our conversation, we're talking about dinosaur themed places. I want to show you a property that was recently shown to me. It's a normal bland property, but they actually threw in some dinosaur stuff in the uniquest places you can imagine.
Okay, like, now I want to check it out. I'm excited.
I know, right? Let me.
I'm sure this isn't my property we're going to make fun of.
No. It's not your property. Trust me. Yeah.
You're kidding.
So it's pretty new as well. So if you're listening to this, you're definitely going to want to watch this on YouTube, because we're going to actually show the property and check it out. So here's the property. It looks like just a normal, like if I look at the house, it's already kind of ruined it, but there's the house there. It looks pretty boring. I think this is, so it's near Dollywood. So it's in Pigeon Forge or Gatlinburg. Okay. So nothing super special about the house, but then like, look, they have like the dinosaur, a guy in a dinosaur costume. Like, he doesn't just like use the grill. It's not just a picture of the grill. It's a guy, a dinosaur using and cooking on the grill, or like playing.
It actually is so great marketing that I'm curious if it's gone viral to the point where they're getting a lot of bookings, even though the house is nothing special. That is white walls with grandma curtains and white comforters. But the guest was a dinosaur.
Look at the bunk beds. I mean, they're just boring bunk beds, but the dinosaur is getting in the bunk bed. You know, it just makes it look like. Like you kind of have a before and then after, like look at the bathroom. Like it's just a boring, like not even updated, but the dinosaur showering in the bathroom.
That is great. I am actually so intrigued to see what their like click rate and what their bookings are like. If this converted, are people just looking and making fun of them, or are people actually booking because of this marketing?
It's brand new, so I'm tracking it to see. I think the first problem though, so it looks like they just got a bad review, but they've only had 4 reviews, so that's kind of a stinker. But the problem though is in their first 5 shots, you don't see the dinosaur at all.
So they're missing the mark on their marketing.
So I actually don't think their click through rate. You have to know about the property in order to know that there's the dinosaur.
Yeah, so you can share it. But yeah. That's a good point. If they're going to be using dinosaurs marketed, they should have put it on their cover image, because that's going to make people click it.
It's super smart. There's just a few little things to me that tell me that like they don't quite get everything. Like I think they came up with something brilliant and they don't realize how brilliant it was, to the point that they're not even leveraging it. Like, for example, like I can tell like their title, like look at their title, like it's really bad. You know, near Dollywood, okay, great. Sleeps 10, okay, cool. I can see that there. 3-bed, like it's just a waste of space. And then obviously they took a really bad review, which so their review rating is down. It's brand new, so whatever. But like they staged it well, obviously, with it, but there's no dinosaur in any of the first 5 shots. So people aren't gonna see that, like strangers who don't know the property. So anyway, so I thought that was
I'm very intrigued. Try to redo this photo shoot so that way I can just test it, but put it in the cover image.
You go. See, give you so I really wanted to plant the idea in your head, and you take that to somebody else, and then we do a case study afterwards. So
I think I could convince one of my clients to add dinosaur in their photography.
Yep.
Maybe.
Last thing. So everybody, as I kind of gave away earlier, I am having Brendy's going to be speaking to us at the SCR Scale Summit in August. On the dates are August 16, 17. So if you're listening to this, be sure to register. It's free. I want to share because she's got a couple really, really good topics. So, Brindy, I'm not going to speak for you, Owen. So this is just the agenda here. But you tell us, what are you going to be talking about and sharing at the summit?
Yeah, I'm going to go dive even more into what we talked about before of how to use data to increase your revenue when it comes to construction, theming, amenities. So we're going to look at like how we actually pull that data, how we analyze it, how to apply it to your property. And then the other thing that I'm going to talk about is specifically how we do this nationwide. So we have teams that fly all over the country. We can go anywhere in the U.S. You may not be at that scale, but you might have be living in one place and you might have a property somewhere else. So how do you manage construction from another state? So I'm going to go all into like managing projects, staging, et cetera, all while living somewhere else.
Yep. And all you have to do, guys, if you're interested in this, she's going to give all these great insights away for free. All you got to do is go to the strscalesummit.com and you can register for free. So be sure to do that. Brindy, I really appreciate you being on. So let's, how do people get in touch with you? Because obviously you have a lot of good information. What's the best way for people to find? We'll start with your company. So Revity Refined, how do people find out about Revity Refined?
Yeah, if you want to check out our website, you can go to www.revity.com/refined. If you want to email me directly, I welcome it. I'd love to chat. We offer free initial consults and stuff like that. Send me an email at Brindy, B-R-Y-N-D-E-E dot Barton, B-A-R-T-O-N at Revity.com.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Well, thank you, Brindy, for being on the show. I really appreciate your insights. And I'm excited to hear more from you at the Scale Summit as well. And I guess before we kind of close here, a tradition I've randomly started is this advice, I want you to give some advice or some consulting. It can be about anything because you're a host, but the name of the show is called Cash Flow Positive. So can you give one piece of advice to help people cash flow positive?
My biggest thing is act. So many people dream about it. So many people think about it, but you have to take that first step. Do your research and then just act upon it. One step at a time, you'll figure it out. Find the people who can help you, but it seems overwhelming if you look at it all at once. Just take one step and get going through it.
I love it. So act. I love that. Well, Brindy, thank you so much for being on here. And like I said, I look forward to hearing from you at the Scale Summit. And thanks everybody for listening, and I'll see you next time.
Thanks for having me.